Gail brought up National Bagel Day. It is National Bagel Day today, Crowder. The bagel is, it's very versatile, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can pretty much put anything on a bagel, and it's good. Like, pizza bagels, like the little pizza bites. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's better than a pizza, but it's pretty damn good on a bagel, too.
I'm telling you, man, I know, you know, hawk yourself. I'm not part of the tribe like that, but these damn bagels, they ain't got something, brother.
We hit hit that, right? Like there's not a lot of, I guess we got like matzo ball soup, matzah, and then bagels. Yeah. Like that's us right there.
Those damn black and white cookies.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
y'all got some. No, man, we always have bagels in the house. Everything bagels, man. Come on, bro. with a smear, with a good old smear. I mean, you can't beat that. Asia, the salmon with lox and bagels, the salmon with the capers and all that stuff. Well, stays in the house.
So this is where I kind of stray away from the tribe, because you know Jews love lox on their bagels, like they. The schmear with the lox, like every time I go to the synagogue, everybody's just waiting for the damn lox. And you know, I'm allergic to seafood, Crowder. So
you're not.
Yeah, but I don't like it. And I'm not what is it? Salmon? It's like salmon, right?
Solana, you're 30 years old, yeah. Solana. You have to stop doing the child. It's like my kids telling me they're allergic to peas. You're not allergic to peas. You don't like peas. You're not allergic to seafood. You just don't like it. Stop saying you're allergic to it. And lox and bagels are delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon, I'm cooking salmon tonight. I actually have my salmon right now marinating in a maple glaze.
Mm.
And I'm going to put everything seasoning on it before a little Crowder powder as well. Oh, come on, man. The salmon, bagels, smears, the cream cheese, the capers, man, it's off the chain. The little onion strips, mm-hmm. Come on. You're crazy.
By the way, you know, our friends at Evening's Delight hooked me up with a grill a couple days ago. I'd posted the video. Last night, threw down some chicken with Crowder powder right on top, and it came out fire.
Hey.
It did. So thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Even though Crowder powder can make you cook good.
I had to pay for my Crowder powder. I'm not thrilled about that, but you know, thanks again, Crowder. I appreciate you making such a great line of seasonings. Crowderpowder.com, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. Solana, when you come out with, you know, Solana lingerie or whatever weird stuff you do, I'll buy it.
You like that one, huh, Jimmy? You like that one?
Hell yeah.
Solana Lube. I'll support your business, man. I'll patronize your business.
Awkward transition to headlines. We're going to do Cat Talk now. Aronde Gadsden is going to join us in this segment. I want to talk to him about Mike McDaniel. And because we got your take last week, Crowder, about Mike McDaniel. We kind of dove into it a little bit with Zach Elb. And, you know, whether Mike McCarthy, Mike McDaniel... And he was kind of taking the same approach we did, which was, bro, the guy has a Super Bowl. He's won playoff games, 3 12-win seasons in a row. He lost Dak this year. Like, is it really his fault? But yesterday, Josh Appel brought up something interesting regarding Mike McCarthy, where he was kind of saying, like, okay, yes, he has accomplished all that. There's no doubt. But can you also make the case that the NFL has kind of passed him by? Like, the success has passed him by. But I wonder... When it comes to the discussion about can Mike McDaniel command a locker room, that seems to be like the biggest hit on McDaniel right now. And I don't think those questions are being asked about Mike McCarthy. And like I think, you know, when it comes to somebody like you who was in an NFL locker room and you dealt with the Cam Camerons and Aronde Gadsden, I want to get his take, like, at a certain point, you're going to go through a season like the Dolphins did this year where you're 2-6. Do you need that, like, stable presence in the locker room to be able to keep your guys focused? Because when things are going great, they're great. But when they're not going great, you kind of look at a Mike McCarthy and you say, okay, but at least he can keep calm and composure in the locker room. And I guess now we have questions whether or not McDaniel can command that same respect.
And with McCarthy, It's crazy. 4 years, three of the four were 12-win seasons. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's won a Super Bowl back in Green Bay. Like, I think his resume, to your point, has it passed him by? I don't think so. But his resume shows it even in the last 4 years. But the thing, even with Cam Cameron, like, the respect for Cam Cameron was lost, but Dom Capers was our DC. And Dom Capers was the one that we looked to have that voice, you know, that, I don't want to say calming voice, but just the masculine locker room head coach leader voice for us. I missed yesterday because we interviewed Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And, like, even him interviewing, like, you're sitting there listening to him talk, and he's not physically demanding. Nick Saban is 5'4". Nick Saban is not a big human being. But as he talks and as, like, his demeanor and how he sits there, you're like, this is a leader. Like, he understands the assignment, as y'all young kids say. Stuff like that, like, that has to be there. I don't know if Mike McDaniels has that. And to your point of us, you know, talking this out, because I was questioning Chris Greer, because I think the biggest problem this year that we saw on the field on Sundays was the backup quarterback. Who in the hell made the decision to make Skylar Thompson your 3-year answer if Tua gets hurt? Like, I think that was crazy. But then we get to talking through it and get to talking through things, and Hawk calls it the big three. Tua, Greer,
it's still ridiculous. I hate that he does that, but yeah, he does.
It's crazy to call it a big three, but, you know, we've had a big three in Miami. I was very successful. So, but to be that, and to say the three most important positions on a football team, three most important positions in an organization, is the head coach, the GM, and the quarterback. The weakest link of those three, if you really break it down and see, we went through Chris Greer's misses, but also his hits. We've gone through Tua, where Tua is a Pro Bowl quarterback when he's healthy, and we know the injury, but hell, what's the boy, Joe Burrow's, his ass is injured a lot too. Like, you see guys that can, if they're on the field, they're playing ball. If you have to pick the weakest link out of those three, it's Mike McDaniel. And I'm not saying he's a bad head coach, but if we're going, I need to make a move, one of these three, and he just got the big contract extension. We all know what, you know, what's going on business-wise, but Tua, Greer, McDaniel, if one of them have to go, if they're on an island, what's it called, Survivor?
Yeah.
I think they look around and put Mike on the little canoe and push him out into the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, the more we're talking this out, and we're using Mike McCarthy kind of just like as a meat shield right now to get into the conversation, he's not coming to Miami, so it doesn't really matter.
No. And I don't really want Mike McCarthy. Me neither. Honestly, I wouldn't want Mike McCarthy. If we had written McDaniel, I don't want Mike McCarthy to be interviewed.
Me neither. Yeah. But the more we talk this out, it's funny because you know how I feel about Chris Greer. Like, I thought they should have moved on from Greer, but there's definitely something to, okay, fine, if you were going to keep McDaniel because you just extended him, right? Like, you're going to keep McDaniel this year because you gave him the money, two straight playoff seasons, and then this year you lose Tua. Like, if you're doing that thing, then why not just run it back, quote unquote, with the three, the big three. I hate saying that. Why not run it back? Because if it fails this upcoming year, then you know, like, you kind of have to clean house, I think. And I know with Tua's contract, it's difficult because of the first 2 years. Like, I realize all that stuff, but you brought in Mike McDaniel to help your quarterback, and it worked. He was healthy all of last year. He was great, led the league in passing, all that stuff. If you're thinking about moving on from Mike McDaniel, you give it one more year, then you keep the guy who brought in McDaniel, and you're not playing this carousel like how we used to play in Miami, where we all felt it was just unstable, where you were firing a head coach, you had the GM, but then you fired the GM, and then you kept the head coach. Like, you don't want that. You want all the pillars to kind of align. The more, like, we're talking it out, I get it. I understand why they're doing one more year of this. As much as I may not like it, there is an argument to be had where, like, you want that structure rather than you fire Greer this year, and if next year Mike McDaniel and Tua are good but they're not great, does the GM in play say, well, I don't want them here anyways because they weren't my pick? And then you're kind of back to this carousel of you're going through the entire process again. Yeah. And that's not a good place to be. You brought up Skylar Thompson, by the way, Crowder. Did you see the news about Skylar Thompson?
Oh, he's bad?
Well, yeah, that's not
somebody
news,
figured but... that out. Pro Football Focus. Pro Football Focus do a breakdown?
Well, maybe you're going to change your tune on Skylar Thompson because your boy, Mike Tomlin, has signed him to the Steelers. He is signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, Lord. Mike Tomlin's just a nice guy. Mike's a pleasant dude, man. Yeah, he's going to beat out Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Man, a couple of Scott. Get out of here. They're just trying to they said they want a scout team guy. There's no way he plays.
Aronde Gadsden is going to join us in the next segment. Also, we are giving away a $50 gift card to Twin Peaks. We're going to get to that in a second. There was some interesting stuff with Mike Tomlin where they lost the playoff game and everybody's trying to suggest that the Steelers should move on from Mike Tomlin. I wanted to get your thoughts on that too because I find it laughable. I don't understand what's going on there.
Bro, I would put money into the pot if Mike Tomlin was available to be your coach. We were supposed to get him before Cam Cameron's goofy ass. Was that the Cam Cameron year when they said he's too hip hop?
I think it was. Yeah, I think so.
Come on, man. Mike Tomlin is a monster of a head coach, leader. You talking about a leader of men? Go and watch. I don't like to shamelessly plug. Go and watch. We have two Mike Tomlin interviews on the Pivot. Go watch those things. Mike Tomlin, let's talk about McCarthy. The hell with McCarthy. If Mike Tomlin's available, if the Steelers fire Mike Tomlin, he will be a head coach of another team in 18 and a half minutes. just long enough to DocuSign the contract. Mm-hmm. That's the craziest thing in the world. But with the Chris Greer. Now you're talking about just quickly go back to this conversation. Yeah. With the Chris Greer. McDaniel conversation because Tua's here. He just re-signed. Tua's our quarterback. Chris Greer has already admitted that he needs to address the offensive line in the backup quarterback position. Right. And those are, I would say, number one, number two weakness. He signed. We have a great receiving core. We have corners. He signed. I don't think our linebackers are that damn good. By the answer that they got rid of David Long midseason, Antoine Walker, they brought in all these guys. So they have to address some stuff. But O-line and backup quarterback. Can Chris Greer address that faster than Mike McDaniel can figure out his in-game coaching, stop getting delay of game penalties, figure out how to score and play well in cold weather, get a power running game? I think it's easier for Chris Greer to fix the problems than Mike McDaniel to fix his coaching. We've talked through this a lot, and I've really – I was on the, Green bringing him in to who? Mike McDaniel knew this damn Huntley was about to start for 2 weeks, and they came out there and scored 11 points.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on Chris Greer that he doesn't understand that he's not Tua.
No, I think it's a double-edged sword. You're right. Chris Greer's problems are easier for him to kind of patch through than McDaniel's that seemed to be more of just his shortcomings as a head coach, and he's had 3 years to fix them, and in the third year, there hasn't been much growth in a lot of areas. But I will say, Chris Greer's biggest shortcoming would be that. He hired Brian Flores, as you would say, butt wipe. They got rid of him. His second opportunity was who? Mike McDaniel. He was in charge of that process. I'm sure Stephen Ross was in charge as well. But Chris Greer's a general manager. You would imagine his decision weighed into them who they were going to hire. And if Mike McDaniel can't fix those issues, then it's still a negative mark on Chris Greer's resume, is it not? That's the head coach he brought in to fix that rebuild. So to me, it's a double-edged sword. You're right. The more we talk this out, Mike McDaniel's shortcomings seem more prevalent, and the team's shortcomings this season probably had a little bit more to do with that, even though I think roster construction is a massive part of it. But whether or not it gets fixed next year, it's on Chris Greer anyways because he brought in Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's what – I don't even want to say Stephen Ross because Stephen Ross is a businessman that owns a team. He's not a football guy. He's not a helicopter dad like I call Jerry Jones. So Stephen is trying to put football people in charge of football, but does he know football people? Because we've seen what Woody Johnson does in the Jets. Woody Johnson's terrible. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Stephen Ross tries as hard as he can, throws as much money as he can into finding football people to hire football people. Chris Greer was here. His dad was a His dad was in scouting. His dad was in the league for 40 years. Hell, Chris Greer's been in the NFL since I was coming out. Chris Greer's like 30-year NFL scout, GM, regional scout, college scout, pro football scout. So, like, he's trying to find people to make those decisions. Are they the right people? That's the question.
Yeah.
So I would say Steven's trying as hard as he can. Chris Greer's dropped the ball on this damn Skylar Thompson backup quarterback and solidifying this whole line. But McDaniel, he's the – over the last 3 years, he would be the weakest link in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't argue it. Like, I don't know if Steven Ross is hiring the right people. And track record would say no just based on results. Just based on results, track record would say no. But whatever, man. It is what it is.
And they missed the playoff and fired Wes Welker. What the hell did Wes Welker do? Man, get out of here. We have to address a problem here. This damn Wes Welker. I don't know what he's doing in that receiving room. Get out of here, man. Wes Welker was the scapegoat. Wes.
Aronde Gadsden is going to join us in the next segment. Let's get to cat talk here really quickly. Sponsored by Hollywood Kia, the big game is here. Tackle game-winning deals during the handoff drive-off event at Hollywood Kia. You get $1,000 lease bonus cash towards your new Kia. Plus, we're going to double your down payment up to $3,000. Online at HollywoodKia.com or call them 832-930-6181. I know we kind of brushed on this in the first segment of the show, Crowder. We're all in love with Matthew Tkachuk. But in case you missed it, last night, third period, Panthers score a quick goal. Devils respond. It's 1-1. Still like 15 minutes left in the game. And he just laid out Nico Hischier of the Devils. And I didn't know this. And this is what I wanted to get to during Cat Talk. Apparently, I was reading George Richards, Florida Hockey Now. He writes, there's been bad blood. Oof. Bad blood between.
Bad blood.
All right. You also.
Bad, but they smoking?
Before you get crazy, you said the Dolphins had Antoine Walker as a linebacker instead of Anthony Walker. I let that one go. I didn't jump on you for Antoine Walker.
Antoine Walker ain't playing no linebacker. You see how big he got?
Well, for a check, he might. for a check, he might.
Antoine's a nose guard right now. That joke of them blew
up. It might do a little shimmy afterwards.
Yeah. George Richards writes, there's been bad blood between Hischier and the Panthers for the past couple seasons. He injured Sasha Barkov with a stick to the knee during a faceoff back in 2022. So apparently Tkachuk and Hischier, they've gone at it several times. He wrote that they fought the game following the Barkov incident and they've had a run-in since. But I was saying earlier, like we look around the NBA, for example, and Draymond Green, most hated guy. Like, everybody's sick of Draymond. Technicals, he steps on Rudy Gobert's chest, and everybody hates him. But the Warriors, obviously the fan base and the team, they love that guy, right? Like, they love the D-bag on their team. And I just love the fact that the Panthers have that guy. Matthew Tkachuk yesterday laid this guy out. And by the way, it was a legal hit. He got the major penalty. Paul Maurice wasn't happy about it after the game. But they attacked him after that. Like, they attacked him. And I'm scrolling through social media today. I just searched Matthew Tkachuk. And all you see is like, F Matthew Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk, worst guy in the NHL. And I love that that's the guy on the Florida Panthers.
Huh, you could say whatever you want, Solana. You love to have that guy on your team because it makes everybody know, like, I'm going to go do something dumb. You are, because you know Tkachuk's over there.
Yeah.
And it's good. Like, people don't want consequences anymore. That's why I said he's my spirit animal. Because I've said that before, man. Like, people don't want consequences to their actions now, this day and age. You talking about, like, Twitter now. People want to cuss you out, call you names, and talk bad about your family, or just disrespect you. They don't want the consequences that come along with their actions. To have a guy on the ice in a physical game that there are consequences to your actions, you have to think twice about it. I'm going to go out there and mess with Barkey. I'm going to go take a shot. I'm going to go over there and, you know, fool with Bob in the crease. Okay, go over there and try to mess with Bob. Tkachuk's going to get on your line, and come out there and knock you the hell out. Mm-hmm. You have to have that in the back of your mind that there are consequences and repercussions to your actions. And I love that Kachuk is that guy. I was listening to Tobin and Leroy. They were talking to somebody earlier. I was in the car in and out going to the store. And they were talking about, like, he's 80s, 90s hockey. He's not where hockey's going now. It's 80s, 90s hockey. Like, we have stars. We have very graceful, great skaters. Like, Barkov doesn't want to fight. Barkov will laugh when you try to throw your gloves and you look at Barkov, he'll smile and skate away like, man, I'm not fighting you. But I have a guy in this bench that if you really want to fight, I got a dude over here to fight you.
Yeah.
I love to have that guy. It's a style of hockey. It's Paul Ball. Josh Appel talked about it. I'm starting to figure out what it is. We're not gracefully skating around and trying to get beautiful passes. That's cool. We'll score some goals. We're going to whoop your ass on the road to having more points than you. And that's what I love about having Kachuk on the team. I love him. He's my spirit animal.
Yes, sir. By the way, that was David Dwork on with Tobin and Leroy earlier.
Yes, that was Dwork. He used to work for the damn station.
He did, yeah. And now Local 10 Digital, but he hosts the hockey show with Roy Bellamy, our guy, and he also covers the team for the Hockey News. That was a really good interview with Tobin and Leroy earlier. If anybody wants to check it out, it's probably on YouTube right now or the Tobin and Leroy podcast. Coming up, Aronde Gadsden is going to join us.
It's Crowder. Why you act the way you act, because there's no consequences and repercussions to your mouth.
Yeah, but I got a little Kachuk in me, though. You know, I got a little Kachuk in me. You mess with me,
no Kachuk.
You're going to get checked right up on the glass, brother.
Man, you got some Calaveri. What's them little twins' girls' names?
Hannah
you
Cavender.
Got some Jet Carson. You got some Cavender in you. You got some Carson Beck in you. You don't got no...
Bro, Cavender twins deserve zero slander ever again on this show. First of all, because the last time you did that, your tooth went flying out. But second of all, they single-handedly, at least the Cavender twins, Hannah Cavender, single-handedly have saved the University of Miami football program for next year. So they deserve zero slander on this show. Aronde Gadsden is going to join us next. Yeah. Save it. Aronde Gadsden is going to join us now.
Carson Beck is not going to be what y'all think he's about to be.
Yeah, keep giving me ammo because he did the same thing about Cam Ward, and I got a real good montage after he kicked the Gators' ass to start the season. Aronde Gadsden, the legendary Dolphins receiver, is next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Hawk and Crowder.
Jimmy pandering to Crowder a little bit. Playing Outkast.
Jimmy, you're not pandering. You're playing good music, Jimmy.
Outkast is awesome.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when Hawk is here, all we get is we get Duran for 4 hours, and then Hawk's off, and Jimmy starts playing Atlanta's Finest. What a coincidence.
Hey, Jimmy, play some T.I. Give me a little Kendrick Lamar. Give me some Pastor Troy. Find Pastor Troy. That's number one.
Play some Drake for Crowder.
I like it.
Play some Drake.
All he does is play Project Pat Chicken Heads once a month for me. That's all I get.
Aronde Gadsden is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Or check them out at toyotaofhollywood.com. Legendary Miami Dolphins wide receiver. And he joins us now. OG, it's been a while. Everything good?
Yo, what's happening? What's happening? Did the Hawk take a PTO day? Is that's what's going on?
Yeah,
Did he prepare the others?
National Bagel Day, OG. So you know, big day in the Hawkman household.
That's what happened. He's trying to get that water from New York to come down. Get the New York water to come down to make the better bagels. I get it.
OG, he's on paternity leave. He made a baby.
I made a baby. There you go.
He's going to be 89 at the graduation.
He's going to have PTSD or whatever they have. He's going to have that. That's what he's going to have. You guys are going to meetings and talk to somebody. I can see Hawk now at the park with the red cup. 69. Anybody want to help me put up this tent? Nah, nobody help me put up the tent, bro.
Nobody else's tent. Grab that leg. Man, that's your tent. I ain't grabbing no leg.
I'm going to sit here under my tent and watch you struggle with it, old man. They'll have 7U pickleball league by then. It'll be 7U pickleball.
Why are you ducking me, by the way, OG? You don't want to play pickleball against me?
No, nah, man. Listen, I got two paddles for Christmas. Haven't even broken them in yet. Trying to get this little fella situated, man, and his. His next step. So that's been taking up a lot of my time. But I'm going to get back out there.
All right. OG.
That's good, bro. Well, congrats, though. Yeah. He just brought up little man. Congrats, man.
Yeah.
OG Jr., thanks, he declared man. To the draft, bro. I think he's going to be a hell of – not even because you on the phone. I think he's going to be a hell of a pro because his size and speed and his catch radius, man. So I can't wait to see where he goes and what he does at the next level.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Appreciate that. One of the scouts did tell me, and I, it's just another recruiting process. But one of the scouts did say because the pros, he will benefit from having a real running game. I'm not saying that we didn't have a good running game in Syracuse because our running back LaQuinn Allen had 1,000 yards, but it wouldn't like linebackers were like, oh, we got to stop the run. You know what I mean? It was more stop the pass. So I think that'd be cool. And hey, listen, I'm along for the journey. You know, it's kind of coming from Winston-Salem State and coming from Syracuse, two different things, brother.
Yeah. Aronde Gadsden on the line right now. OG, we were talking about this in the previous segment regarding Mike McDaniel. I don't think we've talked to you about this yet, but he was pretty open about the fact that players were disrespecting him and fines just weren't working. Guys were showing up late to meetings. And I was just wondering, like, from your perspective, are you surprised at that? And do you think that that's a major concern, a major issue with Mike McDaniel, where year three he's having issues commanding respect in a locker room?
Yeah, I think, the biggest thing when that starts to happen is you probably ran some stop signs or threw some red flags before you got to this point, right? And I think he saw him coming. He saw players doing things. But once again, when you win, you overlook those things. And then now when you have a rough patch, then that's what happens. I think he didn't command, it's one thing, to play music and have fun on the field and before during warm-ups. But it's another thing to be out there, like with joggers and all that stuff. It was like Al Golden. Like, you look nice wearing the tie, but win the game. How about that? Win the game. How about that? That works. You know what I mean? Wearing the tie on the sideline, that was cool. Tom Landry, but Tom won. Like, win the game. Like, and I think it comes down, we work, we talk about, we focus on, it's a result-based business. You don't get the results, then, we don't care. Like, it's, McCarthy had, 3 12-win seasons. Nobody care about that, bro. Nobody care about that, bro. Like, what's the next level? Like, all of us look at, this game. That's why this game this weekend is going to be so interesting because, you got Josh Allen against Lamar Jackson. Both great quarterbacks. Both should win the MVP. But we don't really care about that, bro. When Lamar can have 3 MVP, bro, you got to get to the next. You got to get to the Super Bowl, bro. You got to win the Super Bowl. So, Mike McDaniel hasn't been getting the results. The last game we can point to was the 70-20 win against the Broncos. After that, we've been hitting the bricks, bro, like for real, for real. Like, we won some games, don't get me wrong, but not in the fashion we should be winning them. And, it's come down to when I played, obviously we had Jimmy and he was a polarizing figure. We all know that. But I think even when Dave came, the respect was, a step or two lower, but the key was we had vets in the locker room that wouldn't let it go but so far. It wasn't going to go but so far. And I think that's what the game is missing today. The vets in the locker room that say, hey, enough. You know what I mean? Like, and you respect them enough to be like, okay, you know, we'll stop. You know, the Tim Bowens, you know, the Dow Gardner's, the Jason Taylor, the Zach Thomas's, you know, when I came in, it was Trace Armstrong, you know, and those guys like that. So I think the lack of good veteran leadership, and now because we are so, you know, everything is move here, move there, take the money, which, you know, we all want it. But, you know, you had those guys who've been there. Like, you could see, you could feel, like when the Redskins won and they did the interview, you could feel it from Scary Terry. You know what I'm saying? He was there when they was the Redskins. They was, you know, bad. But now, you know what I'm saying? So if he say, cut it out, let's go to work, I think people cut it out and let's go to work. Bobby Wagner say, cut it out, let's go to work. Okay, you're cutting it out and let's go to work. And for the past few years, we haven't been able to point that guy out on our team, and those are the guys we're missing.
And to that point with that respect structure, whatever, can Mike McDaniel now change and gain that? And can players, or can they bring in players, I guess, OG? Like, you bring up the names you named, Trace Armstrong, damn alpha male, Dale Gardner, yeah. Tim Bowens, two of the scariest human beings I've ever been around in my life. Zach Thomas, yeah. Ultimate professional. Jason Taylor, I was going to cuss, but butt wipe. He going to let you know, like, can you bring in guys like that to try to fix that? And can McDaniel become a Jimmy or a Saban or a Belichick? Like, can he
no.
pull back? Can he start gaining that respect now?
No, I think it's too late. The only way he could get the respect is to win the games. Like, you win the games, then you get the respect. But I think the gig is up. You know, I've been saying this for, you know, 3-4 years. We only have plan A. We've never adapted to, you know, when somebody got it, they figured us out. We haven't adapted as of yet. And I think you saw it all year. Like, you know, like everybody, you know, you can be a novice at football. At the beginning of the year, Tyreek was the number one, you know, player in the NFL, not just on the team, in the NFL. And for him to have some games where he got 2 and 3 catches, like, they figured it out. And you haven't made the adjustment to, you know, do something different. Like, he shouldn't be the last game. You know, trust me, he had a great season still. I mean, he still had like 90 catches and, you know, 1,000 yards, like, yeah, almost, you know what I mean? But not up to his standards, not up to our standards, you know, how the coach should be using a guy of his caliber. So, you know, he's going to have to do something, you know, drastic at this point. Like, who is that guy you go out and get and bring him in and say, you know, like the Redskins brought in Bobby Wagner, and it's just fresh on my mind is why I'm using them. Like, that's a dude in the locker room going to be an alpha male. He's done it. He's won. You know he's going to lead the league in tackles. You know that. Like, it ain't even like a question. He's going to tackle everybody. You know what I mean? Like, and so he's going to have to find somebody like that, but then he's going to have to be in concert with that guy as well. But, you know, Dan Quinn is that guy. Don't look like you can talk to Dan Quinn all kind of way. Like, he ain't dancing doing warm-up. He ain't wearing joggers. You know what I mean? Like, it just, you know, those dudes just different type of guys. Like, you know, and so he has to do something drastic. You know, we want to do something drastic as, you know, fans. Oh, get rid of Greer. I mean, Greer ain't really playing, really. You know, he picking the guys, but, you know, just think about it. I mean, he extended everybody we thought was going to, you know, he got two of the money. We got Tyreek an extension. We got Ramsey an extension. We paid Waddle. We got the coach an extension. Like, I mean, is that his fault that was what we thought was supposed to be done so we could have a good team? It didn't turn out like that. Like, you know, those guys kind of let us down. Now, you know, it seems like they want to leave. Like, you know, back in the day, we try to fix it. Like, let's try to fix it. You know what I mean? Let's try to stay and fix it. But, you know, it's not where we live. So for him, I think he's going to have to do something drastic. Is there a player out there that he can bring in, you know, that change the locker room? I don't know. Once you get guys not caring about the fines, it's tough. It's tough. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we knew, like, the meeting started at 8. You get to 8:05 and nobody said anything to you. Oh man, they got me. I'm gonna get $12,000 on my chair, man. They already got me. Like when people just walk in, like you know the people who walked in like that, like Dan. Like you know what I'm saying? Like we had to win on them Friday mornings. Dan, like I ain't winning that, man. Find me. John Gamble would be like, okay, I'm gonna find you. You know what I mean? Like and, you know them people didn't care. You know what I'm saying? Like. You know, like, when you get the team, like, the guys who not the guys doing that, oh, boy. Like, I'd never do that. No way. I'm in there. I know I'm overweight. I'm still going to get on the scale. I'm mad, but I still got to get on there. You know what I'm saying? So when you have the guys that's not really the guys doing it, you know, it's going to take a lot to turn it around. But the caveat and the X factor is win games. You know, you win games, then you don't have to worry about it.
Yes, sir. Before we get you out of here, OG, what game are you most looking forward to this weekend? Chiefs, Texans, Lions, Commanders, Eagles, Rams, or I think your answer, Bills, Ravens, yeah. Sunday night.
Yeah, yeah, Bills, Ravens, you know, and then they be 8 degrees. Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a football game. That's a football game. You know, like, I'm already, you know, last time they played, you know, King Henry had like 800 yards rushing. Now it's going to be 800 yards rushing. And you got to tackle him when it's 8 degrees? Holy mackerel. You know, so that's going to be a tough one. But like I said, the quarterbacks, whichever quarterback comes out of this, oh, man, I mean, they got a leg up on the situation. You know, I mean, we expected one of these quarterbacks to take down Patrick Mahomes eventually. And, you know, obviously, you know, this is going to be it. So that's the game I'm looking forward to.
And, OG, quickly, just on the way out of this narrative, we talked about it today, where Lamar Jackson's numbers are stupid. It's video game numbers. But right. He, like you said, he got King Henry, got Zay, he got Bateman. Like, I don't care. Dalton Kincaid and Johnny Knox or whatever the hell to do. Like, The whole MVP argument, and I'm not saying I'm leaning away from Lamar because I think Lamar should win it, but Josh Allen has done way more with less talent around him. That's the argument for Josh Allen to win the MVP. What's your take on that?
Johnny Knox from
Dawson,
asshole, right?
Dawson Knox, but all the white guys look the same to Crowder, OG.
Okay, all right. That's true. That's a given. That's a given. We understand that. That's a Crowderism. We get it.
There's not a Pro Bowler in the Buffalo backfield, but Josh Allen still winning games, man. Like I can see both sides of it.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that was that performance this year by Josh Allen was Tom Brady-esque. You know, he just got a bunch of guys having a good time catching footballs, and he's the orchestrator of it. I think 9 times out of 10, I guess I got to lower that down to 8 times out of 10, I'd probably take that. You know, I'd probably go with that guy because, you know, I'm a blue-collar worker, and I'd go with that, but... You know, with Lamar Jackson, it was funny because when you started out, you were like, Bateman. I never thought of Bateman as a, you know what I'm saying, as that guy. But he has caught some balls this year, you know, and scored some touchdowns. But that's a product of Lamar Jackson, you know, throwing him the ball in the right places. Because years before, like, Bateman, like, bro, he got the mask and the gun. So, that's gonna be a tough one, man. That's gonna be a tough one, because you're gonna get some dislike on the other side, no matter who you pick. You're gonna get a whole lot of dislike. Then that's what I'm saying. I think the tip of the cap, what sways one way or another, is gonna be this game. I know the voting may be done because I guess is it a regular season award? I don't know, but.
Yeah,
because you want one of those guys to win the Super Bowl. If Lamar Jackson gets his third MVP?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, all those guys who got three, like, they got a Super Bowl win, I think, at some point. You know what I mean? That's gonna be tough to just, you know, because he can do it like that for, you know, for the next 2-3 years. I don't think, you know, he's not an old cat. I mean, he's still gonna be running around doing the same thing. But, you know, it's gonna be the whole, you know, it's the grief that Mike Tomlin's getting. You know what I mean? Like, you mad because a guy went to the playoffs for 18 years? Like, you mad at that? Like, you mad at that, bro? We struggling to get, you know what I'm saying, out of our division, out of our, you know what I'm saying? Like, you mad at, because he, you know, but it's the Marvin Lewis thing. I think it's the market you're in as well. We in Miami. Like, we expect, like, expectations high. Like, Marvin Lewis sat there in Cincinnati and just, you know, this was 9-7 first round. He in Pittsburgh. Like, I mean, I know the team is, you know, they expect more, but, you know, they the media ain't stressing them like that. We might be stressing them outside, but I, in New York or, you know, L.A. or Miami, like, you know, we expect, you know, you got to do more than that. Like, you got to win-win, not just win. You got to win-win.
So yes, sir.
I think it's the market, and it's gonna be tough, crowd. I don't know, man. That's why this game tonight to me is probably the most important game of the season for football fans, for people who really, you know, get into playing football. Like, we know the Texans got no shot. They got no shot. It's gonna be cold already.
Yeah.
They outside. They got the bad referee. I mean, they got no shot. Like, the Washington-Detroit game is going to be pretty interesting, but the most important game of this whole season comes down to this game, Buffalo versus the Ravens.
Yes, sir. I'm with you, OG. Aronde Gadsden, congrats to you, and obviously OG Jr. We're rooting for him, man. We really are. Thank you, OG.
Thanks, man. Y'all hold it down.
Yes, sir.
Play that good music, Jimmy!
Jimmy, come on now, Jimmy. Give me some Pastor Troy.
You know it.
We went super late with Aronde Gadsden. We'll try to get back on the clock. 15 minutes of heat. Clay Ferreira will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. More Hockman and Crowder next.
You're listening to the Hock and Crowder Show.
Pause up. Dale.
Hock and Crowder.